Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Whew, I've been hard at work on a whiteboard video. I was going to do that today, but I realized at about 6 o'clock this morning, I did not have a full grasp on what I was trying to go over in the whiteboard video. So I'm taking the entire day today to get my mind around it, which for some whiteboard videos is very hard to do because they get very, very complex. Some whiteboard videos, it's totally not this one. This one's a toughie. So anyway, let's get into today's news, guys. Going to the homepage of CNBC. Of course, Russia, big in the news. Dow falls 350 points as Russia-Ukraine tensions escalate. Biden announces sanctions. One thing I want to point out, guys, before we go any further, for those of you who are interested in investing, which I imagine a lot of you are, on my watch list is Russian stocks. And let's go to Yahoo really quick. This is the Russian ETF I was taking a look at this morning. And as you can imagine, it's down huge. So back around November 2021, we're at 32, down significantly, especially in the last couple of days. I think this is okay, but I like Luke Oil a lot. I mean, you look at Luke right here. And so we got one day today. Look at this, the last 6 months. As oil has gone up in price, you know, now over 90, it has gone down in price. And what I really like about Luke Oil is you go 5 years and it got down to about 52 during March of 2020. And this is when oil was under $30 a barrel, which for me is super cheap. And it got to that point in October as well. So if it's getting down in this zone, even if oil is expensive, I'm probably going to buy Luke Oil. I had it, and I had oil producers. I had Shell, and then I rotated out of the Shell position into Luke Oil. And then that went way down, as you'd imagine. So I sold that, and I'm waiting for it to get down into a level where I think it is cheap, even though oil may not be. One main reason why is because if I could buy it in this area and just hold it forever, I would love to do that because it would be paying me, you know, it's 8.79% dividend now. If it gets down into the, call it the 60 range, boy, it's going to be, you know, what, maybe 9 plus 10% dividend yield. And I'm happy to take that all day long. but anyway, so I'll keep you guys posted as to what I do there. Just something that I'm thinking about that's on the old watch list. I talked to Rick Rule about this yesterday, actually, and he's thinking the exact same way. So it's always good to have your investment ideas confirmed by Rick Rule saying that he's doing the exact same thing in his portfolio. So anyway, back to the news today. So another thing I wanted to point out is cerveza sickness infections plummet 90%. Who knew this was going to happen? We did. We did. Remember back in November, I was tweeting about this. I was talking about it on the Rebel Capitals channel. All you guys were talking about it, how this could be the end of the, I guess, pandemic. I don't think YouTube's going to mind if I say that now. And sure enough, this is what we see. And I think a lot of it has to do with political pressure. Remember when I was saying that the latest scariant gives the administration a way out? It's a perfect way out for them, that they can claim that they're following the science, but yet they can pull back on all of the draconian measures that people were just getting fed up with. And you see that right here. States lift mask mandates. There you go. So we saw this one coming a mile away, but it's good to see it come to fruition. And obviously, we've got a lot further to go. There's still a lot of countries that do have these, and a lot of the countries that still have their medicine mandates, although most of them are pulling back there as well. I talked to Barnes about this the other day, and he said that he would be surprised if any countries have any type of mandates within 6 months. So hopefully he is correct. So we know the Dow fell 350 points on Russia-Ukraine tensions. Biden is announcing sanctions. But what did that do to the other markets? Most notably, the one that we are most focused on, and that would be the yield curve. So we go over to the two-year up for the day. It's still kind of around the hovering in the same levels when we first started really getting hyper-focused on it. But up today slightly, what did the 10-year do? Up today a little less slightly. So yeah, it did flatten, but just a little bit. But, just these incremental lowering of the curve or incremental flattening, even though it happens just a few basis points at a time. We've got to remember that the yield curve should not be flat. That is very, very bad. And it's highly unusual. I mean, just think about that. You're able to borrow money right now for 8 years, almost free of charge. When you think about the fact that the two-year yield is very close, we're talking about, 40 basis points? Very close to the 10-year. So basically, you're able to borrow for 8 years almost free. That's not a healthy environment. Something's wrong there. That what that's saying is something is extremely broken. Because obviously, if I'm going to lend you money for 10 years as opposed to 2 years, there should be a lot more risk for me. Not only the fact that you won't even pay me back, but also inflation risk, right? So the longer I lend you money, the higher the interest rate should be to a significant degree, especially if we're going from 2 years to 10 years. It's not like we're going from 2 days to 10 days. So any time that the yield curve is, it doesn't have to be inverted. It doesn't have to be completely flat, just kind of flattening. That is weird and that is atypical. And that means there is a big, big problem somewhere. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts, Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. So yield curve flattening out slightly, but still remains incredibly flat based relative to what it should be or what should be considered quote unquote healthy or normal. That's the main takeaway there. Oil, as you can imagine, up today, 1.32%, which again, I think makes Luke Oil look even more interesting. Another thing I like about Luke Oil is I've been looking at Spurbank. In fact, I talked to Rick about that as well. And that's one that I bought the other day and sold, and I lost money there because I was just being an idiot when I bought it the first time. So I wasn't buying it when it's cheap. I wasn't following any of my rules. So that's what happens when I don't follow my rules. And it's very, very rare that I've lost money because usually I do follow my damn rules, but lesson learned there. But with Spurbank, you've got some FX risk there because that's going to be denominated in rubles. And even if you're buying, what is it? The ADR, I think it's called. So it's dollar denominated. If the ruble tanks, that your dollar denominated share price of that ADR is going to go down significantly. So you got some FX risk there. Although Luke Oil is denominated in rubles, their revenue mostly is going to be dollars. So think about that. If their revenue is in dollars, the ruble goes down, their expenses relative to their revenues go go down as well. Therefore, their profits go way up, way up. The lower the ruble goes, the better it is for Lukoil or any country for that matter, assuming their revenues or the majority of the revenues are denominated in the currency that is appreciating in value, because again, their expenses are mostly denominated in rubles, like payroll. So even you've got quite a bit of a hedge, I would assume, with the FX risk on a Lukoil or a company where their revenues are therefore profits denominated in dollars, because if you're losing on the FX, you're probably gaining in the fact that their profits are increasing. And if they maintain the same multiple, that would mean the share price going up. Let's look at gold up today, over $1,900, silver $24, copper down. Hopefully copper continues to go down, because I'd like to buy it at a cheaper price. We had a big run up there. I'd like to hold that long term as well. Another thing I talked to Rick about, just FYI, was iron ore and Rio Tinto. So I know I was looking at that. I kind of put that on a watch list when Evergrande started to implode, because a good percentage of global iron ore demand is China. And I think their real estate market, and the building of the real estate. And if my memory serves me well, 40% of Rio Tinto's revenues are iron ore. So that was another company that I spoke with Rick about. So you guys will definitely need to check out that interview. So now let's go over to crypto. And the main thing I'm looking at here is to see if Bitcoin is still tied at the hip with the NASDAQ. And just as a reminder, NASDAQ down 1.46% today, and Bitcoin down about 1%, 0.91. So unfortunately, it looks like it's still trading with the NASDAQ. And this is not good if you're, again, long-term, it's probably noise. But short-term, it's not really good for the Bitcoin guys, because one of the main reasons you would like to own Bitcoin is that it would be a non-correlated asset, and it would be like a safe haven asset, digital gold. There you go. But if we look at a chart of Bitcoin with what's happening in Russia, what's happening with the CPI, obviously it's done anything but behave as a safe haven asset. Now, that's not to say that over the long term it won't, but it's just right now, I'm personally waiting to add to the position until Bitcoin starts trading as a reason why I would want to buy it or want to own it. And again, that would be a non-correlated asset that was a safe haven, not only from a standpoint of global turmoil, but and lack of confidence in central planner, central banks, governments, fiat currency, but also an increase in the level of CPI. Okay, I know we had in the comments, how will the Fed raise rates in this environment? And this is a very good point, because this just illustrates the precarious position, the Fed is in right now. It's not just about the government deficit spending, the stock market tanking, the CPI, what do they do if the stock market tanks? Do they go dovish again? Now they have to worry about what happens with Russia. And if that is this black swan event that could bring down the stock market, and therefore, what does the Fed do, especially in that scenario? Oil would probably go up to 110 or 120 a barrel, putting a lot of pressure, upward pressure, on consumer prices in the United States. This is, there's a lot of drama here for sure. So we're going to have to pay very close attention to how this plays out over the next couple weeks. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and we'll see you on the next video.